Paul Tanco, I want to ask you a difficult question for you, I know. But we do know that the Republicans have spent years now vilifying Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're asking people who are coming into office and others whether or not she should be replaced as leader. In fact, we have a dramatic victory in, for a Democrat ousting Joe Crowley. And when asked about it, she said, well, let's see who the other candidates are. Not exactly a ringing endorsement for her. Is there a movement in Congress to replace her?
I think in some ways people have joined in that effort because it's easier to swim with the tide. I think whoever leads the Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives is going to be under attack. You know, there was a lot of talk of Joe Crowley. You mentioned Joe Crowley. If Nancy Pelosi were not the choice, or if she chose not to seek the speakership, if we're to take the House, there were many people who were thinking that Joe Crowley was working that way. I could imagine them attacking this New York City, Queens-based individual, you know, as they do in statewide elections in New York. You know, you're a pawn to the New York City liberals and all of that usual rhetoric. They're going to find something by which to attack, because when you don't want to tout your record, you go on the attack. And, you know, do you want to tell the public that you tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act 60 times? Do you want to tell people about a tax cut that you were going to use as your major weapon and now you find out is not resonating as a popular choice, where 83% of that tax cut goes to the wealth of this nation or some of the biggest corporations in the country? So I think that, you know, Nancy's going to be under attack. She's a strong leader. She happens to be a woman. And I think that in its own right puts her into the crosshairs, so to speak. But
and they spent years doing this. I mean, you're right. They could start with somebody else, but it would take them some real time to get some
momentum.
So they've
accumulated this. But I think, you know, we'll have that election if we, no matter what, if we remain in the minority or majority, there will be those elections. And I think you're going to, you'll see who the field is. But, you know, make no mistake that she had pulled us through, the nation through, some tough choices, including the Affordable Care Act. That would not have happened, in my opinion, had it not been for her leadership and her strength.
Okay, now here's the problem. You are a Nancy Pelosi supporter. I think we've been over that a number of times. You admire her guts. You admire what she's been able to do. Nevertheless, they've done their damage with her. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to say, well, okay, you know, she served for a long time. Now's the time for her to sort of get out. And do you ever confront that decision?
I think we will confront that with the end of this cycle, this election cycle. I think there will be the opportunity to make a choice. And I think it will be input coming from various people and different representatives across the political spectrum, because we have everything from liberal to right wing in our under our tent, and the choices will be made. But I think that I have to say, I think she's been a great leader and has been able to lead this caucus to make certain that we made a difference in the House, as did Louise Slaughter. The late Louise Slaughter was a force to be reckoned with on rules, as chair of rules, when we led the House. And it was their teamwork that really got the ACA to the floor and a number of other bills. So Lilly Ledbetter, a number of things that the ACES bill, the American Clean Energy Act, there were a number of things that got done.
So how do you feel when a friend like Joe Crowley loses? He's been around for a long time. You're a friend of his. You admire him. He loses. Do you have to push that out of the way and welcome the newcomer in?
You do. You do. And I think Joe showed that in his own concession. I thought it was one of the more classic concessions. It was there that same night. He wished her well. He offered his support and said that it was bigger than him, this election, that the nation's stability and the nation's progressivity is at stake, and that we need to support her. So, you know, you do have to put that aside. Joe and I served in the Assembly at one time, and then in the New York State Assembly, and then eventually in Congress. And he's a good friend. He's a hard worker, and he was a great leader. which sometimes doesn't get calculated into the vote that's cast.
In the district.
Yeah. And I think he brought great strength to that district. But, you know, the people have decided you live with that choice. And Joe has made it clear that this election is about keeping America strong.
He lost by a lot.
Yes.
And the polls had it all wrong, at least his polls had
Which
it all wrong.
Which is a very telling thing, because polling now is very difficult.
In primaries,
I think, and in generals, too. I think that you have a lot of people now who don't have the traditional phone.
And they don't have a history of voting, so how do you poll people who haven't
That's
voted
right.
in the past?
And with an onslaught of new voters, yeah. a lot of women, a lot of millennials, it's a tough science now to poll and be accurate in that outcome.
Speaking of which, we have a major race in the 19th congressional district next door to you, in which John Faso has been targeted by a lot of people. A progressive Democrat wins. Does that help Faso in that district?
It's a district that has mixed dynamics. I think that...
You've got Ulster County, fairly progressive. You've got Columbia County, maybe fairly
Dutchess.
Progressive. Yeah. But the rest of it, when it's a huge district, not so much.
I think, you know, a lot of people, when they... think progressive may are reassessing what that means. And when people attempted 60 times over to take away their health care coverage, you have a lot of people in this state that were benefited, that were either underinsured or uninsured. I think they're focusing on these things that...
Are they? I mean, you know it and I know it, but when you say they're focused on it, you know, I talk to people about some of this stuff and they go, huh?
Well, yeah, on some of the issues. But I think, again, it's our job to get that focus, as laser sharp as possible. And it, sometimes the Affordable Care Act was kind of a non-issue or a negative issue until people found out that there were those that wanted to take it away and they did not want to lose pre-existing coverage.
They even know that it's been taken away?
Well, I think that they will know during this election. The need for an individual requirement to sign up for health care. Everyone was forecasting in the think tanks that if you do this, you're going to cause a premium rise. And they were right. And I think now we have to point out that, look, by removing the individual requirement to carry insurance, made it tough on people. We need to let them know that pre-existing clauses, protection for those who have given situations. Now that they're covered, we need to let people know that that could be lost. A number of things that need to be offered out there, and the quality of the plans that people have. You have the president cutting back on the budget to have people enroll, to make them aware of the need to enroll or re-enroll into the system. You know, we need to just let the public know what the difference is. It's about differences. It's about contrast. And I think that there are a number of issues out there that will be verbalized well enough so that by Election Day, people will know the difference.
Always the optimist is Paul Tonko. I've asked him this question many times over the years. And I wish I was as optimistic as you are, Paul, because I'd rather see you right and me wrong on this. So what can I say except we thank you for showing up and being our friend and being here. It's always a delight to have you here.
Thank you.